The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
The Parashas of the Shavua this week is Pekudei, and it begins by saying, Eile Pekudei HaMishkon, Mishkan Edus Asher Pukad Halpi Moshe. These are the amounts, the sum total, the counting of the Mishkan, the sanctuary of the Edus of the testimony, which were counted by through Moshe, Avodas Alevim B'Yarisoma Ben Aaron HaKohen, which was under the management, the leadership of the Levim, through Isomar, the son of Aaron HaKohen. Rashi brings Parsha Zu Nimnu Kol Mishkalei Nidvas HaMishkon. This Parsha is reconciled, counted all of the amounts of the contributions which were brought for the Mishkon, for the building of the sanctuary, the Kesev, the Zovah, the Nacheshes. For example, the silver, the gold, the copper. The Nimnu Kol Kelov L'Chol Avedosei, and also each of the vessels, every object that was used, is accounted for here. It states Mishkon twice. Eile Fikude HaMishkon, Mishkan HaEdus. Why does it say it twice? Rashi says Shnei Poamim, Remez LeMikdosh, Shnis Mashkein, Mishnei Churbonin, Alav Anisein Shel Yisrael. So, because this is a Remez, the Torah is inferring to us here that twice the Mishkan, the sanctuary, will be taken away from us because of our Averus. Now, how does this infer that it will be taken away from us at all, yet alone to say twice? The word Mishkan means sanctuary. That's from the word Shechino, Yishochanti B'Seichon, build for me a Mishkan that I may dwell amongst you. But the word Mishkan also can be read as Mashkein. Mashkein means a pledge, that if you owe someone money and he can't get his money, he takes something else. So here, the simple meaning is Mishkon, Mishkon, that these are the amounts of the sanctuary. Mishkon HaEdus, the sanctuary which held the testimony, the Luchais, the tablets. But there's a drosho. The Chazal also expounded from this, that Mishkon, Mishkon, it's written twice, to tell us that twice the Mishkon will serve as a mashkein. The Mishkon will serve as a pledge, a security, which will be taken away from us that because of our averus, the two chorbonis, the two times that the Beis HaMikdosh was destroyed. This statement that Rashi is saying is in the Medrash Tanhuma at the end of Osei. And there the Medrash adds, it states, V'shom hu she'anshei Knesset HaGdola omrim. This is what the Anshei Knesset HaGdola said. Chavol chavalnu loch. Bring a posuk from Nehemiah. Nehemiah Aleph Posuk Zayin. Nehemiah was informed of the Churban, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdosh, and he says he was praying to Hashem, Tino oznecho kashemes veinecho psuchais nishmael tfilas abdecho. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should listen to the prayers of his servant. Umisbade al chatris bnei Yisrael asher chotonu loch bani uveis ovi chotonu, and we admit to all of the sins of Israel which we have sinned to you. Chavol chavalnu loch b'lei shomanu es hamitzvos ves hachukim ves hamishpatim asher tzivisu es meishadecho. Now chavol chavalnu loch, from the word chavol, the simple meaning is from the word chovel, to strike, to hit, like it states, mechablim es kerem Hashem, those who destroy the vineyard of Hashem. Chavolo. So he said, Chavol chavarnu loch. We have struck. Veleshomanu, we have destroyed our Beis Hamikdash, has become destroyed because leshomanu es hamitzvos vesachukim es hamishpotim, because we have not guarded your mitzvahs. But there's another meaning to the word. The word chavol we find also, for example, in Parshas Mishpatim, number of places of the Torah. But for example, in Parshas Mishpatim, related to a particular mitzvah, in Mishpatim Chof Beis Pasuk Chof Hey, it states im chavol tachbol salmos re'echo. If you will take as a pledge the garment of your fellow man, he owes you money, and he's not paying. So Adbo Hashem is tishivenu lei. Before the sun sets, it's something that he needs at night, you must return it to him. The Targum there says, what does chavol mean? Chavol, imashkona, a mashkon. Rashi brings there in Mishpatim, kol loshen chavolo, eno mashkin b'shashavo, elo shemashkinin, esa leve, there's two types of mashkein. There's two types of pledges. One type is that when you lend the money, you only lend it if there is security. Second type is that you lend without security, but now you're having a hard time collecting. The money is due, he doesn't want to pay. So you take security then. That's a stronger type of security. So Rashi says the word chavol, Kabbalah, refers to a mashkin shelebisha salvo, the second type of security. So this is what the Medrash brings, that mishkon means sanctuary, but it also means mashkin, security that was given to someone who you owe to, who you're liable to, and you cannot pay him, so he takes it for security. Actually, I found in the Malbim, in Nehemiah, where the Malbim says this, and then he brings a Chazal, Loma Koreshmei Mishkon Al Shinis Mashkein Bavaneseim Shel Israel. That this itself is one of the reasons why the Mishkon was called this. Besides the fact that it's Shechinas Hashem, it's the place where Hashem dwells, it was also called Mishkon from the word Mashkein. That when we owe our Kodesh Baruch Hu, we owe him mitzvahs, and we owe him Torah, and we don't pay up, and he has a right to take our lives, so he says, I'll take other security until you pay up. And he takes the mishkon, and that's why it's called mashkei. So therefore here that it states mishkon twice, this is referring to the two times in history that will become a mashkon. And that's referring to the first korban of the Beis Hamikdash, during the time of Bovel the Babylonians, and the second Churban of the Beis Hamikdash during the time of the Romans. The Goraye asks a good question though. He says, Loma Ramas Khan, Inyan Beis Mashkenis. Why here, Dafki here, does the Torah choose to tell us that twice the Mishkan will be taken away from us? Here we're speaking about the building of the Mishkan. We're speaking about the great Yantif that took place at the end of the Seder, that Moshe Rabbeinu put up the Mishkan. So here, the Torah chooses to tell us at this point, twice you'll lose it. Why here? So he says as follows. What are we dealing with here? We're dealing with Elef Ekudei HaMishkan, we're dealing here with the counting and reckoning of everything that was used in the Mishkan. And in general, when it came to the Beis Hamikdash, Hakol Bemida O Beminyan, everything was Beminyan. In the Divrei Nevi'im, it's listed exactly how much was needed for the building of the Beis Hamikdash. And since everything is Beminyan, we find that where there's a minyan, where there's a counting, a reckoning, is sholat by Ein Hora. The Ein Hora, the evil eye, has a grip, has a hold. So the Torah is explaining here that because the Beis Hamikdash, everything was beminyan, everything was counted, therefore there's a danger. There's a danger of the Ein Hora. The Ein Hora brings churban. We could have prevented it had we fulfilled the mitzvah Hashem. But because we did not, and the Mishkan is something which is a Dover Sheba Minyan, which everything is perfectly accounted for, that was the weak point where the Ein Hora could strike. And therefore, it brought churban. That's why here, when we are commanded, Moshe is occupied with Klal Yisrael to count every part, how much gold was used in the Mishkan, how much silver, how much copper, and so forth. The Torah tells us that because of our later sins, the Mishkan will become a mashkin, will be taken away from us. This principle we find in other places. We find it in last week's Sedra. Not last week, 2 weeks ago. The beginning of Parshas Kishiso. Actually, we read this last week also for Parshas Kolim. Kishiso asreish b'nei Yisrael ifku dehem. Now, the word siso refers to counting. When you count the heads of Israel, to know their numbers. Everyone should give a kapora, an atonement, when you count him, in order that there should not be a churban, there should not be a great catastrophe, a calamity, when you count them. What should be given as the kapora, as the atonement? The machsis a shekel, the half of shekel. And therefore, Moshe will count, and Moshe and his council will count the shkolim. They will count the coins. They will not count the people. And that way you will avoid a calamity. Rashi brings, b'leyevem negev shahaminyan shelit by Ein Hora. Because wherever there is counting, then the Ein Hora is there. The evil eye is there. V'hadever bo'alehem. And this can bring never a calamity, heaven forbid. So therefore the Torah said, Lo yeba negev, in order that there should not be, everyone will give a half a shekel, and you count the half a shkolim. He brings Kemesh Matzina b'mei David, like we find in the time of David. What was in the time of David? In Shmuel Beis, Perachov Dalet. States, Vayoses es David behem lemor. Yoses means that David was enticed. Who enticed him? States the Sotan. The Sotan came and enticed David. It put a thought in his mind that really was shouldn't have been there. What was the thought? David decided, Leich menei es Yisrael ves Yehuda. Take a census. Take a census of all of Israel and all of Yehuda. So we will know exactly how big we are. We've grown. How big and strong we are. And says Vayoses, it was not something that should have been in his head. Like his own general told him, Vayemer HaMelech al Yeiv Sarachayil Ashiito. So he called in Yoav, his commander, and he said, Shoot now b'chol shifti Yisrael. Go amongst all of the tribes of Israel, Midon v'ad Be'er Sheva,
all the way from Don to Beersheba. Ufiktu es ha'om. Count the people. I want a census. Yodati es mispar ha'om. So I will know the numbers of the people. Vayeme Yovel HaMelech. He says, Halavai HaKadosh Baruch Hu should, we've grown. You want to know the numbers. Halavai HaKadosh Baruch Hu should double us and double us again and again. And you'll see that we're big. Vadoni HaMelech lo mechofetz b'dabar hazeh. Why do you have to count them? You see how much we've grown. People like to count. We're always taking censuses. And Yoav said, what do you have to count them for? You're counting them because you see how they multiplied. So it's enough to see how they multiplied. Dvar HaMelech al Yoav al Sori HaChoyel. But David eingeachtet. He was stubborn. But this was the Sotan. It's the Sotan got him and pushed him. And he says, no, I want accounting. So they had no choice alternative, and they had to go take a census. And it was a big job. They went all over, from Don to Beersheba. They shoot the Bechol Oretz. And it took them 9 months, 9 months and 20 days. And after 9 months and 20 days, they came back. And he came back with the whole cheshbon. Ma'itin Yoav es mispar mifkar om el ha-melech, but he Yisrael shmeine meyas elef ish chayel sholef cherev. That Yisrael was 800,000 men that were capable of wearing a sword. And Yehuda, Hamesh Meyais Elefish. And Yehuda was another 500,000 men. Then David realized danger. He realized danger. And he said, Chotosi Me'aid Asher Osisi. I've done a great sin. And I call it Ki Niskalti Me'od. I was very foolish. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the Novi that a great calamity is going to come. And a great calamity came. Vayitein Hashem Deva b'Yisrael mehabeke v'ad eis meir v'yomos minohom midon v'ad b'ersheva shivim elefish. A great calamity came and killed off 70,000 people. So Rashi brings here from the Chazal that lo yevem negev shahaminyan shele be'ayin hora. Counting can bring the ayin hora. K'mei shematzina b'mei David, like we find in the days of David. What is the reason for this? Why counting should bring the Ayin Hora? So the Maral explains. In counting there are two purposes. Counting gives chashivus. Counting gives importance to something. Fact is, the word for counting is a very strange word. Kisiso. Kisiso, actually shiso means uplifting. Nesias Rosh. Medrash says that when you count something, you uplift him. You count things that are important. Things that are not important, doesn't matter. So counting gives chashivas. It gives importance to something. We have a klal, we're learning Masech Tehuli now. Mora says that when you have many things together, they can become bottle. And they become as if they're not there. We look at what the majority is, Bitl Barayu. And it says, Kol Dovi Shebeminyan Lebatli. If they are things which are counted by themselves, it gives them a hashivas, it gives them an individual importance. And if they have an individual importance, we cannot say that they're insignificant anymore. Counting gives an importance, it gives a significance. Nesias Rosh. Secondly, counting gives value. Why do we count? We come because we want to know how many. See, how many? How much money do I have? How many people do I have? How strong are we? So when one counts, what actually we are doing is showing, revealing our numbers, revealing our greatness, revealing our value, revealing our strength. And this brings pirsum. This brings pirsum. Pirsum means when you bring something into the public eye. And the Ein Hora, the evil eye, always has an effect. Well, not always, let's say always, but can have an effect on something which is brought into the public. It has its greatest effect on something which has a ribui, which is many, and something which is important. And it works against it. What does it do? It brings churban. It makes from the many few, and it makes from the important non-important. It throws off someone from his important position. And therefore, the less we count, the better off we are. The less we publicize, the better off we are when it comes to the Ein Hora. The Maral brings another example, a very well-known example, which also was in Parshas Ki Sisa. In Perek Lamed Dalet, Posuk Gimel, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave the Ten Commandments to Moshe, the Luchos. This was in Parshas Yisro. Moshe stayed with Hashem for 40 days and 40 nights. Just before he was coming down, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, look what's happened to your nation. You were up here and they built for themselves a golden calf. Shichei Amcha, they're destroying themselves. Go down immediately. So Moshe went down, he broke the luchos, he broke the tablets. And he took care of what he had to down there, judge the people and so forth. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, he asked for forgiveness. Hashem said, all right. And this was 40 days late after he came down. This was Resh Chodesh Elul. Hew out some new luchos, some new tablets. And write, I will write on the tablets, as advorim asher hayu al luchos harishonim, exactly what was on the first tablets, asher shibatu, which you broke. Ve'yehi nochon laboker. This was erev Resh Chodesh Elul. And he said, tomorrow morning, have it all ready. Valisa v'abeke lahor. First thing in the morning, you go up to the mountain, al har Sinai. And wait for me on top of the mountain. But no one shall go with you. And no man should be seen near the mountain. And no sheep or cattle shall be near the mountain. Now, there's a drastic difference between this and the first luchos, because in the first luchos, in Parshas Yisro, there it states as follows: Vayi bayem ashlishi b'yesh haboker. On the third day, when morning came, Vayi keles. This is in Parshas Yisro. But he came to Vroki. There was enormous thunderclaps and enormous noises. and there was a great black cloud that came and covered the mountain. V'kol sheifar chazok mi'od. And there was an enormous blast of the shofar. V'yecherad kol ha'om asher b'machaneh. And all of the nation, we're talking here of 600,000, millions of people, they trembled what they heard and saw. And Moshe took the whole nation out of the camp to the mountain. And they all stood at the bottom of the mountain. And the whole mountain was in smoke. Because Hashem had come down on the mountain in a fire. And the fire, the smoke was going up like a fiery furnace. Vayechrad kol ha'or mi'od, and the whole mountain trembled. Vayhi kol ha'shefer holek v'chozek mi'od, and the blast of the shofar, instead of getting weaker, kept getting louder and louder, to the point where the people didn't want to even go. That's how the first luchos were given, the first tablets. Here he says, you come in the morning, you go up to the mountain, wait for me there, and no one shall go with you, and no one shall be around at all. Why? What's the difference? So Rashi brings, Harishenes al yedei shoye b'tshuais v'keiles v'kihiles. The first ones that were given with all kind of celebrations, and all kind of festivities, and all kind of great congregations of people, what happened to them? Shol to behen ein ro. The Ayin Hora took a hold. And what happened to them? Ice. They were broken. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Ein lecho yofe min atznius. There's nothing more beautiful than snius. Snius means privacy, low profile. Let's keep this very quiet, he told Raisha. You come yourself. Leave the whole nation in the camp. Don't bring any reporters with you, no television with you. See? Just you and me alone. This also is a medrash in Tanhuma. And the medrash uses a little different lotion and it adds a little. This is a medrash at the end of Kishiso, at the end of Os Lamed. The medrash says, Aluches Rishenes Alshem Niknu Bipumbi. Uses the word Pumbi. Pumbi is when you give something with a great parade. You do something, a public demonstration. That's what Pumbi is. First Luches tablets were given with a great public demonstration. The Fichok, therefore, Sholte Ben Ein Hora. Therefore, the Ein Hora took a hold, v'nishtabru, and they were broken. Kan omalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Here HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ein loch yofe min atznius. There's nothing better than low profile, than privacy. Shneemar, and it brings a posuk. Brings a posuk from Micha. This is in one of the Haftarahs, in Micha Vov. It says, Higid lecho odem matev. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will tell you what is good. Ma Hashem deirish mimcha. What does Hashem want from you? Ki im aseis mishpot. You shall do mishpot. Mishpot is law and justice. Avas chesed. You shall do loving kindness. Behatznea leches im alakecho. And when you walk with Hashem, it should be bitznius. It should be between you and me. Your service to Hashem should not be anybody else's business. It should be between you and me. Hatznea leches im alakecho. Walk with me in a very... Many of the translations, they say modestly. That's misleading. Hatznea does not mean modestly. Hatznea is from the Lashon sonua. Sonua means concealed. Walk with me in a concealed, private manner. So this is what the Medrash brings. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, listen, I had enough of the publicity. I saw what happened. This time you come atzneah. You come in a concealed manner. Alone. No one else. In order that the same thing shouldn't happen again. Incidentally, there's the old Minag Yisrael that when someone gets married the first time, so they make a big pumbi, it's called. See, big chasidah. But if it's a second marriage from both sides, if it's a first marriage from one side, no, we still make a big chasidah. But if it's a second marriage from both sides, it's brought low profile. You don't make the chuppah outside, make it inside. You don't make with the whole entourage, just make it small and quiet. And there's no doubt this is the reason, because it's brought that many of the customs of the chasana we learn from Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah. Because it states, Vayetze Meisha Likras Elokim. Meisha brought the nation to meet Hashem. So the Gemara says this was like he was bringing the color to meet the chosen who was standing at the chuppah. Okay? Because this was a chuppah between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Israel. And many of the minhogim that we do at a chasana is learned from Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah. So therefore, the second marriage, we learn it from the second luchos, the second time it was given. The second time it was given, it's new. Now, this is a general principle we have, that on things which are concealed, which are kept low-key, private, there we find is brocha, the opposite of Ein Hora. While things that have too much pirsum, they're raised up too much, there's always the danger of the Ein Hora. For example, the Gemara says in Brochas, Ein Abrocha Metsuya El Adove Shemuchus Mina Ein. If a person wants brocha on his money, if he wants brocha on his crops, his produce, keep it low profile. Because brocha is found by concealed things, not by revealed things. Another example. We're learning here about the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, it states that in the Kodesh, you had three objects. One was the Mizbeach, the altar, and then on your left you had the menorah, and on your right you had the shulchan, the table. We gave a shir a few weeks ago on the menorah. The Torah tells us, what did the shulchan represent? The shulchan represented physical wealth and strength, because the table represents the physical wealth of the person. Shulchan Malachi. And the Gemara says in Baba Basra that the Shulchan was Bitzofeg. When you came in, you came from the east and you went to the west. And if you're going from east to west, so on the right is the north. It says the Shulchan was in the Tzofeg. And therefore, it states, Areitze Yashir Yatzpin. If someone wants wealth, he should be Mispalel, he should daven towards the north. Because the north was the symbol of wealth. When I say it was on the right, it was on our right. But really it was on the Kodesh Baruch Hu's left. So the west is the way that the Shekhinah dwells, facing the other way. Now, so the Gemara tells us that Tzofein, that's the source of wealth. Maral says the word Tzofein comes from the word Tzofun. Tzofun means concealed. I'll tell us, for some reason which we don't quite understand, the north side of the world is concealed. And since it's concealed, then that's the place of physical brocha. We find it also, for example, when Yaakov Avinu, Jacob, he gave a brocha to Ephraim and Manasseh. So he said, "V'yidgul areiv," they should multiply like dogim, yidgul, like fish. And they did. From the largest tribes was Yosef, Ephraim and Manasseh. So they ask, why did he say they should multiply like fish? Because there is no species that multiplies in such great volume as fish. And why? Because they're mechusim min ha'ayin v'leisholta by ayin hora. Because fish are concealed. You cannot see them. And therefore they're free from the ayin hora, which is misnaged, which is contrary. The ayin hora always tries to destroy brocha. Brocha's growth. Ayin hora tries to make churban, to destroy it. So this is a general principle that we have. Why is it this way? Why do we find that when things are too public, so there the ayin hora tries to cut it down, while if things are concealed, it's not like that. So Maral in various places he explains that actually brocha is found by the dvorim anidolim in agashmi. Brocha is found by those things which are spiritual. That's the source of brocha, because the source of brocha is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You take, for example, the human being. The human being grows. But why does he grow? He grows because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives life into him. Divinity takes his life out, he takes the soul out of him, and then there is no brocha left in the person. The source of brocha is Hashem. And therefore brocha we basically find in the bilti hagashmi, in those things which are elevated from the physical world. They give brocha into the physical world. But we don't find brocha in its own right, in essence, in the chomer, in the gashmi, in what's physical. Now, the bilti gashmi, that what is not physical, cannot be seen. That what is physical, is seen. Therefore, brocha is by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The higher we go to elevate ourselves from the physical world, the less seen it's going to be. For example, we had here in the Mishkan, we had first the chotzer, the courtyard. Now the courtyard did not have a cover over it. So it was Megula, it was revealed. Because that level was not that high of a level of Kedusha, of sanctity. The higher, the more removed something becomes from the physical, the more sanctity you're moving into. But when you went into the Mishkan proper, the Kodesh, there that already was Mechusa, that was covered, that had a roof over it, because it was more Kodesh. When you went further into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there already there was a Pareches B'Sakoisei, there was the Pareches, the curtain, which concealed it even more. And so concealed was the Kodesh HaKadoshim that no man was ever supposed to go in there, except the Kohen Gadol and except on Yom HaKippur. When it came to the Ketores was one of the most holiest parts of the Avodas, the burning of the incense. It was Bechashoy. It states it was supposed to be brought secretly, in very low profile, privately. No one was supposed to be around. Whenever you find that the more Kodesh, closer you come to higher levels of Kedusha, the more besesha, the more concealed it will be. And that's why physical we can see, the human body we can see, but the neshama, the soul, no one has ever seen it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yeshiv B'Seisa Elyon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells B'Seisa. He dwells in total secrecy. So therefore, if Kedusha is the source of Brocha, then it must go hand in hand with Tznius, with that of secrecy, that of privacy, of low profile. While when you speak of the Chomer is the physical, and that itself does not have any Brocha in itself. It has no life in it itself. It's fed with Brocha that comes from above. So that itself is always Benigla. That is always revealed. And there you're getting further away from Brocha. And there the Ein Hora can have a power. Also we find that Tznius, this that we're speaking about, this Hanhogas Tznius, is also very closely related with Kovod, with honor. Here it's there's somewhat of a paradox. For example, honor, generally we feel, must go hand in hand with publicity. Because if nobody knows about it, so then there's no honor. But at the same time, we see it must also go hand in hand with Tznius, with privacy. Where do we see that? For example, by a king. A king, it's very proper that you should give him great honor. So his fame should be renowned. But at the same time, the king was always protected. The king and the queen were always protected with a great veil of privacy. The king didn't sit out in the marketplaces where anybody could come and talk to him and be with him and mix with him, the king and queen. No. They were within the Chadre Chadorim. They were in the inner sanctums. And to come to him or to her was with great difficulty. And you had to go into many, many rooms. The throne room was always deep in the palace. When the king walked, or the queen, it was in his honor that he should be surrounded by people, by his guards or by his other close associates. We see that the greater something is, and the more honor it deserves, actually the more tznius it deserves. Same thing we find at the physical level. If you have something which is very inexpensive or very cheap, you leave it around. But something which is very precious, a person has some gold, some jewelry, some very precious stones, you cover it up, you put it in a nice box, you don't leave it totally exposed all of the time because of its value. Not because you're afraid, not only because you're afraid someone might steal it, because that's not covered to it. That's not honor that you have diamonds that you have, you just leave them laying around exposed. Now there's a Gemara in Masechet Sukkah. The Gemara brings in Masechet Sukkah daf mem tes on the base. Well, it says, Amr of Lezer Maidiksiv. Lezer says, this that's written, Higid Lecho Odom Matev, the pasuk we quoted before from Micho. What does Hashem want from you? He wants you to do Mishpot, he wants you to love Chesed, and Hatznei Alechazim Alakecho, and to walk very privately with him. Aseis mishpot, to do mishpot zehadin. This is to see that the law is upheld. There should be law and order. Avas chesed, to do chesed, zugemilas chasodim. This is to do loving kindness to other. But what does it refer to? Atznei aleches im Hashem im alekecho, that you shall walk privately with Hashem. Zu heitzos hameis vachnosis kala lechupa. This is referring to such mitzvahs as the burying of the dead. Doesn't say burying of the dead, but the levaya, the bringing of the dead to the burial. Or haknosas kala lechupa, or the marching of the kala to the chupa. Now the Gemara says, v'halei dvorim kal v'chemer. Now from here we can learn something. Generally, when you bury, you don't do it secretly. The fact is, it's a mitzvah that when someone is being buried, so it's a mitzvah to make this known. So people will come, and there'll be malaves ames. They'll come, and throngs of people will come, and they'll go with the escort, the departed, to his burial place. So it's done before Hesha. This is done publicly. Hachnosis kala lechupa. Also, when someone gets married, you don't do it secretly, but you invite all kind of people, so people will escort the kala to the chupa. So it says, if by things which we do before Hesha, we do publicly, still the Torah said, Hatzne aleches, that you shall be careful. And there should also be the element of privacy in it. So dvorim shadarkon lasis b'tzitznino. So things that, in essence, should be private. Allah has kam v'kama, how much more so? Now there's different, this is a difficult gemara. What does it mean that you shall do the taking of the dead to his burial, or the taking of the kala to the chupa? You should do it b'tznius. At one hand, it's something that we do with many, many people. We do it publicly. And at the same time, it states that's what the Novi Micho was referring to, Hatzneah, that when you do mitzvahs like these, they should be with snius, they should be with privacy and modesty. So there's different explanations. Rashi says, Rashi says of two explanations. One explanation, he says, even at a funeral, when there it's a mitzvah to be mefarshim, and we say a hespit, we say a eulogy, and there it's a mitzvah to publicize the qualities of the departed, still tzorech lahatznia lispaid b'midanoi. Still, you shouldn't overdo it. You must speak about the dead. You must publicize, but not too much. It has to be done with a control. With a control. Or the crying also. It's a mitzvah the Gemara brings. It's a mitzvah to be meridimo, alodim kosher, to bring out tears on an upright person that died, but still it must be done b'mide noya, in proper measures. The same thing lismayach, when it comes to a chasana is a mitzvah to rejoice. He says it's still b'mide noya, it has to be done with a proper measure. V'leila hani kalis resh bi'atzmoy, and not that a person should make a total fool out of himself, or make a total carnival out of it. Right, it's a mitzvah, simchas kosin v'kala. But still, it has to be with a proper measure. The eating has to be with a measure. The drinking has to be with a measure. The dancing has to be with a measure. This is what it means, hatzneah. That's one explanation. He says it also refers to another case. He brings this from Shultis Rav Achoy. A great mitzvah, one of the greatest mitzvahs, is if you have someone that, heaven forbids, he dies and he's very poor, and he leaves no money that the family is able to bury him. So it's a great mitzvah to give money to help bury him. This is one of the greatest mitzvahs. And the same thing, Hachnos is Kala. Kala is going to the chuppah. Chosin and Kala, and they don't have enough money to get married, to make a chasana, to find a proper home and so forth. This is the greatest mitzvah to help them out. But even though these are public events, give the money b'tznius. Give the money b'seser. Don't advertise that, look, I'm making the chasna for them, and I'm the one who buried. This is how Rashi brings two things. The Maral adds something. He says another note on this. He says, why is it so important that we should all come to the chasna? It's called hachnosis kala lechupa, and we should go with the kala to the chupa. Actually, in the old days, so the chupa was the beis hachosin, was the house where the chosin lived or was going to live after the chasana. And the kala lived in her father's house. And when it came time for the chupa, so they would march with the kala from her house across the town to the chosin's house. See, that was the real hachnosis, the escorting of the kala to the chupa. She says, why do we do that? Now, the same thing, why is it so important we escort the dead to burial? He says, that itself is its news. That is the honor guard. That is the covet. Because for a kala to walk herself, or for the dead to be taken to burial without an honor guard, without an escort, he says, that's a pritzus. It's too revealed. This way, when everyone escorts and the kala's in the middle, or lehavdil, you have the departed one is in the middle, so that itself is the tznius, just like a king or a queen when they walk, not going to walk down the streets themselves, but there's going to be honor guards all around them, because the tznius is in proportion to the importance of the event and the importance of the individuals. And the more important the event and the more important of the individuals, then the more honor and tznius there must be. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, by even things that we do publicly, there must be this tznius. So how much more so on other things that we do not do publicly? And then finally, the Gemara tells us the Gemara brings this in Meikotin, that Tezayin, and this is also a Medrash in Yalkut Shimoni. The Gemara says, what should be the Hanhoga when it comes to Torah? If even other things require this type of chashivas, this type of honor and importance, and this type of privacy when it comes to the study of Torah, it states, Shlema Melech said in Sefer Mishlei, Vesnuim Chochma. Those who have a character of Tznuim, okay, they will merit Chochma. The Gemara, the Chazal many times used to say, Al bi'al yegale ele l'tznuim. This is an important piece of Torah, but only tell the Tznuim about. Only tell people who are very bahalim, people who are private. And the Gemara brings that there was one time when Shmuel bar Nachmeni met Rabbi Yenison in the shuk, in the marketplace. So he said, "Omale shoneli perek echod." He said, "Rabbi, teach me a chapter of Mishnah." Omalei, he says, all right, leich lebeis ha-talmud ve'eshne ischo. He says, go to the Beis HaMedrash, we'll go to the Beis HaMedrash, and I'll teach it to you. Didn't want to teach it to him in the marketplace. Omalei, leile maratoni chochmas machutz tareino, but didn't you teach us? There's a posuk in Mishlei that says, chochmas machutz tareino, that the wisdom of Torah will go out into the world. And here we're in the marketplace, we're out into the world, that's where the wisdom of Torah should be. Amalei, he said, im koriso, leishoniso. If you learnt it once, Your problem is you didn't learn it a second time. You didn't chazer it. Vim sonisa le shelashto. And if you learned it a second time, your problem is you didn't learn it a third time. Vim shelashto. And if you learned it a third time, the problem is you never understood it. He says, what does it mean that Torah will go out? He says, Hamagolius, Heichen hi nimkeres. If you want to buy pearls, where do you go to buy them? You go to the markets that sell pearls. Torah, you want to buy Torah, you have to go to the marketplace that sells Torah. Where is Torah sold? Bircheves titein kolo, bebote mi kinesios, ubote midroshe, shemarchivinaisai. In the Beis HaMedrash that brings out the Kol HaTorah. By that it states that Torah will go out, if you learn it in the Beis HaMedrash, then the wisdom of Torah will go out to the world. And he says it doesn't mean that you should learn the Torah in the marketplace. That's where you should buy and sell pearls and other things. But the place of buying and selling Torah, that's in the Beis HaMedrash. And then the Gemara brings the Gemara Ma'id Kotten. Pamachas goza Rebbe Shleishanu leTalmidim b'shuk. It was one time that Rebbe decreed that you're not allowed to teach your Talmidim in the marketplace. My Dorish, what did he darshan? Chamuki Yerechech. Shleba Melech in Shir Ashirim, he compared the Torah to the thigh. He says, why is the Torah compared to the thigh? My Yerech b'seser. A person's thigh is always kept covered. Torah also has to be that way. Then they said, "I." But they bring a posuk that it'll go out. Yes, if you keep it covered and you learn it the way it's supposed to be learned, then the wisdom will go out into the world. Then the Gemara says, brings a posuk, but sometimes it's learned publicly. It says there was only biyuma dekala. There was one time a year, or a few times a year, but it was rare, where it was a mitzvah that there would be Deirish Barabim. The thousands of people would come, and they couldn't fit into the Beis HaMedrash, so they would be Deirish Barabim. Now, here when it comes to Torah, and we're saying that the Tznius has to be inappropriate to the level, to the height of what we're speaking about. And we're saying also that the Tznius is the proper honor in proportion to what we're speaking about. So when it comes to Torah, there certainly one has to deal with a great element, a great measure of tznius, this great measure of propriety. And that's why Shlomo HaMelech wrote, he says, Be'asnuim lachochma. Latsnuim chochma. Who will merit Torah? Only those people who have that measure of propriety. So this gives us an explanation why here, if the Torah wanted to reveal to us that the Mishkan is going to be mismashkein, taken from us as a security twice, l'ramez al shnei chorbonis, to tell us that will be the time of the two destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, why dafki here when we were completing the work of the Mishkan and we were putting it up? Because whenever we are guilty of something, the Ayin Hora jumps in, and the Ayin Hora has its greatest hold on those things which are the Pirshum, Magula, those things which are openly high profile and revealed, like we see by the second tablets, by the first tablets. And here we were commanded in all of the counting of every facet of the Mishkan, Bala Aminyan, and I'm counting for that reason, because that gives importance to it, that publicizes volume, is shaled by Ayin Hora. So therefore here is where it was Nirmas, it was told to us in the Torah in a very delicate manner that what would happen to the Beis HaMikdash.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedolah of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.